Hey, Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Remember, last week we talked a little bit about the wilderness and John the Baptist and his ministry, and today it's Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. Okay? Verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Coming up out of the water, he immediately saw heaven opened and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us through your word. And I just pray, God, you'll help us to hear it today. Help us to receive it today. And God, we give you permission to do what you need to do inside of us through your word. Let your word come alive in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In those days, at that time, here comes Jesus. Aren't you glad he came? Hallelujah. Here comes Jesus. John had announced, after me is one coming. After me is one coming. After me is one coming. How many of you know sometimes God gives you a dream, a vision, an idea, a word, and it doesn't happen as quick as you thought it would take place. Are you with me on that? Sometimes there's a delay that's bigger than I expected. Here is John the Baptist saying, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming," and he shows up quickly. God hasn't always worked that way in my life. He hasn't always worked quickly. Because there are things he had to do inside of me. There are things he had to do in the people around me. Sometimes God has to prep for the work and word he's giving you. Don't worry about the delay. That is in God's hand. For John the Baptist, there's one coming, there's one coming. Boom! There he is. I find that amazing. You know, John said, "I'm not worthy to serve him." And here he shows up. Jesus appears. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. Do you remember what John says? John says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I love that thing because nobody expected Jesus to come from where he came from. It didn't have a good reputation. Some of you didn't have a very good reputation either. Aren't you glad there is redemption in the name of Jesus? That the past can be. I think there's a reason that Jesus comes from a place, not good reputation, because he knows that's where some of us come from. And he takes care of us. He knows how to do that. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You see, there are times when it seems God just speeds up his work. You know what that means? That means you and I got to be ready. We got to be ready for what God wants to do and needs to do in our lives. You know, times we pray, "God save, God rescue, God do something, God give me a job, God give me this, I need this, I need this, I need this." In the midst of your praying, be ready. And John was ready. He didn't doubt what he had said. Be ready. Because here's the bottom line. Between the command, the voice, the promise, and the fulfillment, it still takes faith. It still takes faith. Faith for John. Think about it. Isaiah prophesied something he would never see. We have it written. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He would never see it, But it was written for whom? The scripture says it's written for us. It still takes faith on this journey with God. And Jesus shows up and he comes up to John and he wants to be baptized. Now think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, wants to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John, in another version and translation, in another gospel, he says, man, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptizing me. I mean, that you should be baptizing me. I don't deserve what you're asking me to do. Yeah. John serves Jesus. You know, in the beginning, we talked about preparing the way for Jesus. And the greatest way to prepare for Jesus, learn to serve him. Learn to serve him. You see, renewal always comes out of the wilderness work of God. Here John is in the wilderness, baptizing in the wilderness, doing the stuff of the wilderness. Renewal happens in the wilderness. And Jesus shows up. The promise of supernatural renewal in the embodiment of Jesus himself. He would come up out of the wilderness and lead his people into the promised land. I want you to understand the parallel that's taking place. When Moses gave the Ten Commandments, he was in the wilderness. God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the wilderness. And in that wilderness, God gave them commands. God let them see his glory. God gave them a promise of a holy land, a promised land. And that's exactly what the gospel is paralleling in relationship to the birth of God's people, the birth of his church. That out of the wilderness, a renewal would come, a new covenant, a new command would come for the people of God. And that's what you need to see, that God is at work even in the wilderness. The new promised land. It was not to be about legalism, but freedom in the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would bring to his people. It was not about following rules, but the establishment of the relationship with the Creator God. God was about to go beyond the sacrifice of animals, of bulls and goats and dove. He was going to lay out his son for the sake of us. Hallelujah. It went beyond all that they could imagine or think. The giver of life creates a new people of God, a new people of God called the church. A new Israel would emerge, you and I. Aren't you glad to be a part of the household of faith? Amen. Something Jesus created. Jesus, in submitting to John's baptism, is acknowledging the judgment of God on Israel, on the nation. God was about to call the nation of Israel to a new decision. When you and I make changes in our lives, we have to come to a new decision in our minds. If we're going to change path, going to do things that are no longer detrimental but healthy, we got to make a decision. Joshua said in the Old Testament, you've heard it quoted sometimes, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, somewhere along the line, there's got to be that decision, that resolve in your own heart. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that requires something of you. Think about it. John baptized him, and he was coming up out. He's coming up out of the water. Coming up out of the water. Jesus came up out of the water because he came down from heaven. There would be no coming up out of the water unless he came down from heaven first. But because he initially came down, he could come up and take us up with him. There's something powerful and beautiful about it. What God is saying in the baptism of Jesus, my son is here. My son is here. pay attention to what he has to say. My son is here. Heaven is astir of what God is doing. And the devil knows the son has arrived. Because what's the next step? The wilderness temptation by Satan himself. Yeah, Isaiah 64, verse 1 says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence." I love that passage of Scripture. I have prayed that passage of Scripture because if there's anything we need, it's for God to come down. It's for God to come down. Now, don't take this wrong. I'd rather have his presence than a new song. I'd rather have his presence than a new preacher. I'd rather have his presence than anything else. Oh, that he would rend the heavens and come down. And that's what he's doing in the sending of his son. You see, in the first Exodus, God would come down. He wouldn't come down until the people consecrated themselves in Exodus 19. But this time, it's the son who takes responsibility in the consecration and submits himself to John's baptism. It's the son who takes responsibility for your sins and bears them on the cross of Calvary. You see, the baptism was just the beginning of what he was going to take responsibility for. God standing in your place, God taking your sin, God dying of your sin's death, God raising again so that he could bring new life into your body. That is the living God that you and I serve, to make us a living church empowered by the Holy Spirit of heaven. There's something beautiful about that. Yes. And God came down and he immediately saw heaven opened up over the sun. Man, can you imagine being there? And the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Amen. Yes. The Spirit was promised, and the Spirit is about to begin a new work in a new covenant. Isaiah 32, 15, listen to it. "Until the Spirit is poured out on us from on high, and the wilderness is a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest." Isaiah 44, 3, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." I'm telling you, it was the promised. It was promised. It was promised long before the baptizer would show up. That's why the scripture declares that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. The Father and the Holy Spirit comes down like a what? A dove. Don't make a mistake. A dove. A dove. It's an allusion to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. "And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water." Do you understand that hovering there, that moving over, is like a chicken or a bird that hovers over their children. The hovering, nurturing care of God over his creation. That's what God did at the beginning. He took chaos and made order out of it by the hovering Holy Spirit of God. A new creation. Jesus comes up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. The hovering work of the Holy Spirit to bring about what? A new creation. A new creation. I'm not what I used to be. Glory to God. Matter of fact, Paul will take on the terminology and say, "All things become new. Old things have passed away. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus." I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's still hovering to create new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is brooding. A new creation is about to follow. And in the Jewish community, listen to this, in the Jewish community, the dove was a sign of the community of Israel. And God is about to breed and hover over a new community called his church. I love the church. I love the church. I get mad sometimes with what people do with the church. I get mad at how people disrupt the church. But I'm going to tell you something. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen. You want to mess with me, you start messing with the bride of Christ. You know what I mean? Because it's the bride of Christ. We not perfect. Let me say that better. We are not perfect. I know some of you needed that right there. It's just like you start messing with my bride. You know, you're not going to have her as the enemy. You're going to start messing with me. You start messing with his bride, and you're going to have Jesus to contend with. You need to be careful of what you say about the church, because we're all the anointed of the Lord. We're all the anointed of the Lord. A voice came from heaven. God addresses Jesus. This is my son. Don't you love that? This is my son. This is the object of love, my son. The son is the servant of the Lord. Isaiah would have proclaimed it. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Hallelujah. How many know God's promises come to pass? Hallelujah. Jesus is more than what they ever imagined. The declaration, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You know what that means? Performance. I'm well pleased in what he's done. What has Jesus done? Nothing. He's not opened one blinded eye. He's not healed one person. He's not preached one message. And God has the audacity to say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. There's a good lesson in there for us. Sometimes we are trying to get everybody's approval by what we're doing. It's not so much about what you're doing. It's about who you are. And there was something in the heart of God, in the heart of Jesus, that the Father loved. Amen? I want God to love my heart before he loves my deeds. Yeah. Jesus didn't become the Son at the baptism. He was the Son. He was born the Son. And now he will be driven. He will be driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. We all think the enemy drove him into the Spirit. No, the Spirit moved him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And guess what? He overcomes. We'll discover that by the word of the Lord. This is one thing I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to miss this. The one coming that is greater than John. The one coming that was greater than John stood before John. The one that John said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to lash his sandals. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Came to John and said, baptize me. The one coming, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The one coming, the one coming, the one coming. And he stands before John and says, don't miss this. Baptize me. He humbles himself. Think about that. The one in whom the Father is well pleased humbles himself before a mere man, John the Baptist. and says, baptize me. Humility. It's how Jesus began his ministry, humbling himself to John the Baptist, and it will be how he ends his ministry on earth. Not my will, but thy will be done. Humility is a great teacher. Because if you don't have humility, you ain't gonna be taught. Do you understand that? That's why it's important that you and I be humble. Be humble. I was pastor in my first church. I'd been there a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and these two old coots came into church, and they went to the big church in the other tent. You know what I mean? They went to the big church. I think I was running about 40 people at the time. Just trying my best to make something happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm just preaching my heart out and just doing everything I could. These two old coots come in the house. I thought maybe they were there to pray for me. I thought maybe they were there to do something. You know, just they just stopped by to say hi and tell me everything I wasn't doing. And they said to one another, I'll never forget these words. If we were pastoring this church, we'd know what to do. We'd do this, we'd do that, we'd do this. If I pastored this church, I'd know this, this, and that, this. I tried to be I was very gracious to them. One thing that was not exhibited out of their life was a touch of humility. And when they left me, I got on my knees before God. And I wept like a baby. It was like etched in my heart. You understand? And I say, God, if there's anything you ever do in my life, you keep me humble before you. God, if there's one thing I want to be all the days of my life, it's humble before you. I don't ever want to walk into a situation with arrogance and pride and knowing it all. And you know what? As I was kneeling there praying, God brought to my attention my own pride and my own arrogance. And I said from that day on, it was one of the prayers I prayed over and over again. Two prayers I prayed all just about, and I still pray them. Number one, Lord, give me wisdom beyond my years. Now sometimes I think it's, Lord, give me wisdom to catch up with my years. And the second part of that is, Lord, keep me humble. Keep me humble. Keep me humble. Here Jesus, the Son of God, begins with an act of humility, and he says, John, baptize me. And John resists him. John resists him. You're the one should be baptizing me. She said, no, I'm going to begin this with humility. Humility will keep you dependent on the right things. You know your future is bright when you have this one thing, humility toward God. Humility toward God. There's one thing that stands out in this verse of Scripture. It's the humility of Jesus to submit himself to the plan and purposes of God and says to John the Baptist, no, baptize me, humble. I'm going to humble. He humbles himself. It's the beginning of a walk of humility. Let me just read a couple of passages of Scripture in Proverbs, what it talks about, humility. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. I think the King James says pride comes before the fall. But with humility comes wisdom. Isn't it interesting that God led me to pray those two things? God give me wisdom and God keep me humble. Proverbs 15:33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Think about the honor that Jesus would receive from his life. He humbled himself, the scripture says, and became and took part in the death of a servant, a sinner, and yet God highly exalted him to the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he humbled himself. Proverbs 18:12. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Oh, we read it twice in two different verses. Humility comes before honor. Listen to this. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are rich and honor and life. Riches, honor, and life. Too many of us want to begin with riches. Too many of us want everybody to honor us. Look what I know. Look what I am. Look what I got. Look, I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Teach me, Lord, what it is to walk humbly before you. I don't know about you, but there have been things that I thought I knew that I didn't know very well. God, keep me humble. Keep me humble. Keep me humble. Lord, teach me what it is to walk humbly before you. Lord, in America, we're taught to be great critics. We know how to criticize. We know how to exhort. Teach us to walk in humility. Teach us to walk in humility. Lord, every blessing I see in Scripture comes to those who humble themselves. Your word declares that you give grace to the humble. God, we need your grace. We need your grace. Stand with me, would you? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Larry, I've never given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is to be a new creation in him that you were talking about. And the process of becoming a new creation begins with humbling yourself and saying to God, I agree with you, God. I'm a sinner. I agree with you, God. I need your mercy. I thank you, God, for bringing your son to die in my stead. I receive your son right now. And in that act of humility, God promises to bring good news, good life to your life. Redemption. A place with him in eternity.